Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. So let's take it from the Brayis on the top of Lamed Gimel, around 10 lines down. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. It's Poalim Shebo Litvah Scharan Mibal HaBayis. The workers trying to be Tovea, they want to get paid for the work they did from the Bal HaBayis, from their employer. V'Nagchan Shorosh Bal HaBayis. So they go to their employer's house, and while in the house of the employer, the ox gores them. Or nishchan kalbo, or the dog bites them. Shabai bais, the dog of the employer bites the workers. Umes, and the worker dies. Pater, the bal habayis is pater. He's pater from, even though they entered into his rishus and they had good reason to. They wanted to collect their money. He's pater because they entered into the rishus hanizak, rishus hamazik rather. Acher momim, others say rishain poalin litzvoa schar mi bal habayis. Workers are allowed to claim money, they want to be paid, they have every right to. And therefore, since they are allowed to, the continuation would be that if they were to be killed by the shor or the kelev, the Baal Bayis would be chayiv for that killing. So Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case here? Id shchiach b'masa, if the Baal Bayis, if the employer, is often found in the city, so my time of dachem. So why did the Achayim allow the workers to go to his house? They should have just waited in the shuk, not enter into the shus ha-Baal Bayis. So therefore, even Achayim should think that the Baal Bayis should be potter. They had no right to come into my rishus. They should have found me when I went outside. I'm outside plenty. If the employer is frequently in the house itself, if he stays home, he doesn't leave his house many times. So then my time with the Tanakama. So why then is the Tanakama think that he's putter? It's not fair. If I'm the employer, so I'm hiding away, hiding from the workers, they need to be paid. The fact that I stay in my house all the time, so they're never allowed to claim their money from me, of course, that's not fair. So since I'm always in my house, then the workers are allowed to come into my house to claim money. And they come into my house to claim their money, and they get killed. So I should be chayiv then, because I'm pretty much putting them in a tough position here. So Gemara says that's not the case. It's not where I'm always found in the house, and it's not where I'm very often found in the shuk. Lo tzricha, it's needed for the following case, begaver d'shchiach v'lo shchiach, where I'm found in both places equally. Sometimes I'm at home, sometimes in the shuk. So v'kari abava, so I'm home one time, and the employer, rather than employee, knocks on my door. Kari abava, he knocks on the door on the gate. V'amar l'hus, I say to him, in, yes. So what does that mean, yes? When I say yes, so Mar Savar, right, in all ta mashra, means yes, come on in. Umar Savar, in kum aduchtach, yes, I'm coming, wait there. Wait by aduchtach, kum, stay aduchtach, stay in your place, I'm coming, mashma. That's machlokas. So that's what happened, just unclear how to translate the word yes. Mara says, Tanya, there's a braisa that supports kiman damar, in kum aduchtach. A braisa that supports the opinion that says, yes, I'm coming, stay in your place. Mashma. The Sani, the Braisa, teaches us, Poel shenichnas letvoa schar mi bal habayis. Our worker comes into the employer's house to claim his paycheck. V'nagcho shorosh bal habayis, and the ox kills the jagorzim, or nashcho kalbo, or the kelv bites him. Pater, the bal habayis is pater from any death, any damage. Afapi shenichnas b'shus. Am I pater? Period. Even though the worker entered in with permission, so I'm still going to be pater. Am I pater? Why am I pater? That's not fair.
Why permission? He said stay. Don't enter.
No. Right now we haven't determined that yet. Gemara Bryce says that even though I granted him permission, I'm pater. I gave him permission to come into my house. Why would I be pater? If I give him permission and then my dog bites him, then I should be liable for that. So it must be, so therefore the fact that I'm pater as an employer must be what case? El lav de karya babe, bamar lay in. It must be where he came to my house, he knocked, and I said yes. But yet I'm still pater. If I said yes, come in, then I should be chayv. So it must be yes means shma mina in, kumaduchtech mashma. Yes means yes, I'm coming, please wait there.
It's interesting that the Gemara uses it. It talks about a shor, but it talks about a dog.
Right.
And, you know, it's not too fond of dogs for whatever reason.
Yeah, certainly not.
You know, because dog.
Right.
I don't see a shor attack, you know, if a guy is an employee, you know. An ox doesn't run to attack people.
I don't know how shors work so much. I don't know.
Red shirt.
What? Well, red shirt.
And Mishna says now, Shnei Shvarim Tamim Shechavlu Zeze. A little fighting. The two oxen are goring each other, and they're both Tam. They've never had any any attacks beforehand. So Zemishalman b'mosar chatzi nezek. So now you have to figure out the total damage. Now after assessing the damage on both ends, whatever differences, whichever one had more damage, that difference, you pay half of that damage. So let's say one causes $200 of damage, the other one $250 in damage. So then the $200 neutralizes the $250. So you're left now with a difference of $50 of damage to one of them. So that $50 difference, you only pay the mazik, the one who caused more damage, only pays half of that damage to the nizak to end up getting $25. So now they're left with two very broken animals, and he gets $25 in that case. Let's say shneim muad mishalman b'moser nezek shalom. Let's say they're both muad. They're both very aggressive. They have many offenses beforehand. So then the difference of the damage, you pay the full amount. So in my case, I presented before, $200 versus $250. So the one who received more damage would get a full $50 payment of that difference of the two. Let's say the case is echad tam v'echad muad. You have a very aggressive animal versus an animal that has not been so aggressive. That's a tam. So if the muad b'tam, if the muad causes more damage to the tam, so then you have to pay mishalim b'mosar nezek shalim. Since the mazik in this case is a muad, the din is muad pays nezek shalim. But if the tam b'muad, if the tam, let's say the softer animal in this case, ended up causing more damage to the muad, so then mishalim b'mosar chasi nezek. So the difference is $50. You pay only half of that because the tam is the violator. Two people are now having a fight. They're having a fist fight, and they both cause damage to each other. So then, same halacha applies. Mishalim b'mosar nezek shalom. Whoever caused more damage, so that you pay the full amount of that difference. Now, let's say it's an adam versus a muad. An adam fighting against a shore, or a muad ba'adam, or a shore gores a person. So then, mishalim b'mosar nezek shalom. So in either direction, whether the adam causes more damage or the shur muad causes more damage, you always pay the amount of nezek shalim of the difference. Let's say it's an adam b'tam b'adam. Now adam is fighting a very soft animal that hasn't had any offenses beforehand. So then the halacha is if it's adam b'tam, the adam punches the shur atam in the face, let's say, and breaks its leg. So mishalim b'mosar nezek shalim. Adam is muad liolam. Adam always pays the full amount. So since Adam caused damage to the Tam, he has to pay the Nezek Shalim. But if the Tam, Ba'adam, if the Tam comes along and gores the person, so then the halacha is Meshalim b'mosar chasi nezek, because Tam only pays half the damage. But then comes along Rabbi Kiva. We saw this already in the first parak. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af Tam shechaval ba'adam, Meshalim b'mosar nezek shalim. Even though normally a Tam that causes damage only pays half the damage, when a Tam gores a person, he has to pay nezek shalom. That's the din according to Rabbi Kiva. I think it's based on the fact that it's a mishuna. Tam doesn't gore people. In general, animals are scared of people. Even aggressive animals are scared of people in general. It's not until they get scared themselves that they'll attack a person. So in this case, it's called it's like mishuna. So you have to pay a full amount. This is the mishnah. Okay. So Gemara now says Tanur Rabban, quote to Brisa. The pasuk says, "Kemishpat hazeh yaselo." Like that mishpat, like that previous aforementioned judgment din, you have to do to this one as well. So, what's the context here? So, Rashi just rather the pasuk on the side here says, "O ben yigach, o bas yigach." If a ben is gored, if a shor gores a boy or a girl, kemishpat hazeh yaselo. Like that mishpat, unclear what that mishpat, but like that other halacha is what you do to this shor that damages a person. So what's the case? Kemishpat, the Gemara explains, kemishpat shor b'shor, kach mishpat shor umuad shor b'adam. So just like the halacha is when a shor against a shor, if it's a tam, it's a chasi nezek, if it's a muad, it's a nezek shalom. So to when a shor hits a person, same exact din, tam is chasi nezek, and a muad is nezek shalom. That's the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. So Gemara explains, Mashur b'shur tam mishalim chatzi nezek umuad nezek shalom, like we just explained. So af shur b'adam tam mishalim chatzi nezek umuad nezek shalom. Then comes along Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah, who holds that tam b'adam pays nezek shalom. What does he hold? So Rabbi Kiva Omer k'mishpat hazeh k'tachton v'lo k'elyon, meaning the two pesukim before it mentioned the lachas of muad and lachas of tam. When we say kemishpat, we're not going back to kemishpat of all the halachas of a shor b'shor, only to the bottom one. The bottom one means the second pasuk, right? Because in the Torah, the higher psukim are, the early ones are elyon, or top, and then you go down the line of the column of the Tanakh, of the Chumash. So we're going like the previous atacht on the lower halacha, which is the halacha of a muad, but we're not going according to elyon, the earlier halacha of the tam. That tam, paying chatzin nezek, does not apply to a shor b'adam. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding of k'mishpa. So if that's the case, if a tam is going an adam, he pays nezek shalem, yachol mishalem min haliyah. One might think, just like maybe the tam now, the adam has a din of a muad, and the muad pays min haliyah, pays out of pocket, regardless of the value of the mazik, the animal itself. If you cause $200 of damage, you always have to pay out of pocket, even though the animal itself is not worth that. Even though a tam, the adam, pays a full amount, you only pay from the gufa of the mazik. You don't pay anything more than that. You don't pay min haldiyah. Rabbanan ze lamali. So what do they learn this? What do they take this for? What's zemin? When it says kamishra hazeh sounds like it's limiting. That's what Rabbi Kiva said. Kamishra hazeh, like this last one, but not the previous one. But Rabbanan say that no, kamishra goes back in all the cases. So what do they learn from the word hazeh, which is limiting? So Rabbanan ze lamali, the poto mi arba dvarm, to exclude them from paying any arba dvarm. So when the shor gores an adam, you might think maybe the Baal HaShor have to pay all the other dvarm. Like when a person hits another person in the face, so you have to pay refes and sheves and repoy sheves, tsar, all those other dinim. So maybe the shor adam also has to pay all those extra dinim. So zez, only pay the nezek, and you don't pay the tsar and the sheves and the repoy, you don't pay the other stuff. That's what we're learning from zez. Rabbi Kiva, lepotam mi'arba dvar minalei. How does he know that the shor adam does have to pay the additional arba dvar? Only you have to pay the nezek. So nafkla, he learns out from the pasuk says meish kite mum bamiso. Only ish bamiso has to pay the total five things, but lo shor bamiso. But when a shor hits a person, then the baal shor is pata from paying the additional arba dvar. Rabbanan say no, that's not a good raya. That's not a good drasha. Imya he had I had the pasuk of ish kite mum bamiso. That pasuk alone. That pasuk is talking about tsar. Maybe only tsar would the baal shor be pater from paying, but maybe all the other halachas, sheves, boshes, ripoy, maybe the baal ripoy, sheves of ema, litain lei. Maybe the baal shor would have to pay the adam in this case. We learn from kamishman hazeh, only nezek does the baal shor have to pay, but none of the other additional dvar. Okay, new Mishnah tells us now, shor shave mana, shenagach shor shave masayim. $100 shor gores a $200 shor, vein hanavela yafeklum. And this dead carcass, this dead $200 shor, is worth nothing. So no to us shor. So now the nezek is certainly $200 because it's dead. And it's worth nothing. We learned before that the nizak takes the nevela. So you have to, if the nevela is worth $50, you take that into account. But now the nevela is worth zero. So the mazik owes half the damage, which means $100 is half the damage.
Can you eat it?
Can you? No, it has to be shechted. Yeah. Sell it to a guy. You skins, the bones, you make kalim, who knows? Whatever you can do, I don't know. It's not worth much, probably, but you could sell it also to a guy. So now you have $100 is what's owed, because the nevela is worth zero. So now the Mishnah says, no to the shor. You take the shor. The shor is the form of payment. The mazik, which is a lie, that gored your animal, you take it home with you because it's $100.
One second, you take
all the dead shor. No, the dead shor is worth nothing.
That's worth.
Yeah.
So the guy says, okay, you should give me your.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm the nizak. I take that shor that killed my shor, take him home with me. $100 even.
But let's say that shor is worth a lot more.
So that we'll get to other cases. This case is very specific where the mazik is worth what's owed to the nizak. But Gemara will discuss later other cases where it's worth $1,000. Right now it's exactly worth. So when it's exactly worth the same, you take the shor home with you. So Gemara says that our Masnis and our Mishnah must be Rebbe Akivahi. Why? The Sani, the Baraita teaches us that Yusham Hashor Bebezdin Divri Rebbe Yishmael. What it means is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains around 15 lines up, Yusham Hashor HaMazik Bebezdin, you evaluate the amount, the value of the Mazik, the Shor. V'yitain lo Mazik Mos, and now the Mazik pays money Demei Shor Shu Chati Nizko. So you evaluate the mazik, but you don't give the actual mazik. You just evaluate what it's worth. ubishave mane shenaga chleshave masayim ve'ein anevela shava klum kamari. So the halacha is, remember, we say you only pay when it comes to chati nezek, when a tam is causes damage. When you pay chati nezek, you only pay megufo, the value of the animal that was mazik. You don't pay out of pocket. So in this case, so let's say the value of the animal was only $25. So then you're going to only pay $25. You don't give the actual shor over, according to Rabbi Shmuel. You evaluate the shor as $25. Even though I owe $100, I only pay as much. The cap is whatever the value, whatever reason that is. We'll see in a second why.
After he's dead.
After, no, the Nizak's dead. So now I'm the Mazik, I'm the owner of the Mazik. Right. I need to pay $100, half the damage. Right. But I have additional, for whatever reason, I have a cap. That cap of $100 can be lowered if my Mazik animal is worth less than that. So even though I owe $100, if my shor hamazik is only worth $25, all I have to pay is $25. I don't pay min ha'aliyah. I don't pay out of my pocket, from my attic, literally. I pay megufo, from the value of the actual shor hamazik. So I take the animal home to the basin. They assess it at $100. So now I owe $100, not from the animal itself. I do pay out of pocket, but again, there's that additional cap of that value of the shor hamazik. So I take it to the basin just to evaluate, to tell me how much I actually have to pay. But that's only according to Rabbi Shmuel. But that can't be our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says where the Nizak takes home the Shor HaMazik. Rabbi Shmuel says you don't take home the Shor HaMazik. We just evaluate the Shor HaMazik to tell me how much I would have to pay. But then comes the Rabbi Kiva and the Bryson. Rabbi Kiva says, Omer Huchlat HaShor. No, Huchlat HaShor means you take the, look at Rashi. Rashi says, HaShor Asmo Yikach. You take the actual Shor home. So Nizak takes home the Shor. So it's probably pretty interesting if, you know, the owner of the shore who's dead now, like, had a real relationship, like friendship with that shore. Imagine he has to take home that mazik, the shore mazik, which just killed its shore. You know, the dogs are probably, people could relate more to dogs. People fall in love with their dogs. So the dog gets killed by the neighbor's dog. Now you take home your neighbor's dog and just killed your own dog. It's probably very difficult, I imagine, to take that home.
I think with the shore, they're looking for, it works. You know, it's an ox.
Correct, could be. So
he's,
yeah,
using him as a...
But the same halacha would apply to all other damages, dogs as well. Now, I'm not sure if they had the same relationships with dogs then as people do now. Either way. So Rabbi Kiva thinks you take home the shore hamazik, which is what our Mishnah says. No, tell us ashore. So Gemara wants to know, what's this machlokas Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael savar bal chovu v'zuzahu demasikle. Me being the bal hashor, I'm the owner of the shor hamazik, I owe him money. I'm now a borrower. I borrow money, I'm a bal chov, I owe money. So I need to pay him back money, that's all. I just use the shor hamazik to evaluate how much money I need to pay. For whatever reason that is again. Rabbi Akiva savar shutfininhu, no. When my shore damages your shore, the Torah makes a shutfin now. We are equal partners in the shore hamazik. Even though I owned this beforehand, and I technically do own this now, when my shore kills your shore, damages your shore, the Torah makes you a partner with me in this shore hamazik now. And therefore, since I owe you money now, and I caused you damage, you now take full ownership of that shore hamazik, and you take it home with you. Okay, the Gemara now says, explains, this machlokas, what's this machlokas based on? Whether I'm a borrower from you or we're partners in the shor hamazik. Kamiflagi b'haikra, they're arguing how to understand the following pasuk. So before we read this part of the pasuk, the background is, the entire pasuk reads, v'chiyigof shor ish es shor re'ehu. If one person's shor gores another person's shor, v'meis, and that shor dies, now the pasuk, as Rashi, as Gemara quotes it, umachro es ashor hachai. So they sell together, machro. Together they sell the live shor, the mazik, v'chatu es kaspo, and they split the proceeds. So how do you interpret this pasuk? So Rabbi Shmuel savar lebeidina kamazir achmana. When it says machro, they sell. Who's the they? So Rabbi Shmuel thinks they sell refers to Bezdin. Bezdin sells the live shor, the shor hamazik. And then you pay the money. You pay money to the nizak. Rabbi Kiva savar lenizak mazik mazir leirachman. No, the Torah says machu when they sell it. For instance, they sell the mazik nizak are the ones who are selling it, and therefore, if the shor is worth the entire amount of the damage, then he just takes home the shor. So that's the machlokas. How to understand the pasuk? My benai. What's the nafkamina between these two opinions? So Gemara explains. Hekdesho nizak ikibinayo. The question is, if, let's say the nizak is maktish the animal. So according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that they're partners, so then the Hakdesh is Chal, because the Nizak is a partner. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that says the Nizak has no Chelek, there's no Bialis here at all. All this means is that the Mazik owes money to Nizak, but the Nizak has no lien on the shore, so the Nizak is Makdesh, it doesn't take effect. So that's the Nafka meaning the Gemara says, whether the Nizak has the ability to be Makdesh or not. Does he have any Chelek? Is he a Shutif or not? The Gemara now says the last two lines of the Gemara here. Boy minei Rava mirav Nachman, machru mazik. So let's say the mazik goes off and sells this on his own. The Rabbi Shmuel mahu. Now according to Rabbi Shmuel, he holds if I'm the shor hamazik, so you are not a partner with me. I just owe you money. There's no partnership here. So now let's say I sell as the mazik. I sell the shor. What's halacha? So do we say kevin damar Rabbi Shmuel bal chovu? Vizuzuhu demaskele macher. I have every right to sell my shore. I owe you money, but I owe you money. I can sell anything else I want. I have complete rights to sell it. You have no bias. So, pashas is, I could sell the shore. Oh, Dilmore, perhaps we say, and this is the chiddush here, Kavan, going on to now, Laman Gimlam and Bezer, do we say Kavan de Meshabid le Lenizak, since now I owe you money, and there's a lien, there's perhaps this lien that now applies to my shore mazik, Lav kol kamine. I don't have the ability to sell that point of payment. The shor mazik is supposed to, if I don't pay money, you're going to collect that shor mazik. So therefore, I cannot sell it. That's the shaila.
So who's going after his? He's going, the one that's, the dead horse or the dead shor, that's gone.
It's gone, exactly.
It's gone. And the guy that shor got it, was killed, he's going after the live shor.
Correct.
So he wants to take that live shor now and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his?
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not his. Rabbi Shmuel says, I owe you money.
True, but you can't take money.
Okay, exactly. But now let's say I sell it, though. So is there some lien? Is there a lien that is there?
Sure, because you sold, because that's his only...
Exactly.
Notes. Can he go after anything? But let me ask you something else. Can he go after other money besides the shark? Forget about the shark. The shark committed the crime.
Right, he cannot. It's only, the Torah tells me, only on this shore.
He really doesn't have a right to sell this shark because how is he going to get his money?
That's the question. That's the question. The Gemara doesn't know. Perhaps whoever said that? Did the Torah ever say that there's going to be a lien on the shore mazik? The Torah never says that. So the Torah doesn't tell us that. If there's no source for this, then we can't create a lien that doesn't, there's no source in. That's the shaila.
That's the only way the other guy is going to get his money if he can't go after his other property.
Granted. To which Gemara answers, Amalei Inu Mocher, it doesn't work. He has no right to sell it. The Torah does place a lien on the Shor HaMazik, and he has no right to sell it. Gemara challenges this. Is it really true? Hatanya, but doesn't the Braisa say Mocher? Mocher, that if he goes to hell and sells it, it's a good sale. So Gemara says, Chosev Agavo. No, meaning, correct, he could sell it, but too bad for the guy who bought it, the Nizak could go ahead and collect it. Just if I sell my house to somebody else, and I end up not paying the bank could go ahead and take it from him because the bank has a lien that proceeds. So the sale was a good sale, but the lekuchos, unfortunately, are going to lose out. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'chi me'acha shechozev v'govo, the nizak has the right to go and take it away and confiscate it to the lokeach, lama machar. So why would it be sold in the first place? What good? The poor guy who bought it, he's going to lose a shor. What's he gaining by buying it? What does it mean it's a good sale?
He doesn't know.
Right. Doesn't know. The Gemara should say it's not a good sale, though. Even though he might not know, he might be pretending it is a good sale. The Gemara says, no, it's a good sale. You know why it's a good sale? The Ridya. Ridya is an Aramaic for plowing. Meaning the buyer, gets to use it for those weeks until the Nizak takes it. He gets a benefit from it. Rashi explains, three lines from the top, Shim Charash Bo Lokeach. If the Lokeach uses this shor Hamazik to plow his field, Eino Nosein Demeyach Rishol the Nizak. He doesn't have to pay for misuse of the Nizak's property. It wasn't. There was a lien, but it was mine with the lien on it. If it came to the point where the Nizak needed the payment because the Mazik wasn't paying him, so then he could go ahead and collect that Shurim Mazik. But in that interim where I was using it, I had every right to use it. I bought it fair and square. So Gemara says, Shema Mina, we learn from all of this concept, Love Umocher Metatlin Bezin Govelahen Govelomahen. So is this coming to teach us that more of a question? Is this to say that the guy borrows money, and after he borrows the money, he sells away his property, the Bezdin can go ahead and collect from his property to pay the bank? Is that really true? You have to do this? Because what we're saying now is, yes, that's true. If I'm the Shor HaMazik, I owe money, I'm a borrower, and I go sell it, So now Bezin takes that shor, which is a metalplin. They really work by, we know by karka this works, by a house. They're by real estate, there is a ability, there's a lien. Because lekuchos, when it comes to buying and selling, people know when there are liens on houses and real estate. People know that. So lekuchos knew well that there's a lien and they bought it. But when it comes to metaltlin, people don't know what liens exist on metaltlin. So we say that when I sell a metaltlin, which includes a shor, to the lokeach, Bezin's not allowed to collect metaltlin. So this is a case of metaltlin here. So are we concluding from here that the bank is allowed to collect metaltlin, that a lover the borrower had sold off after borrowing money from the bank? So Gemara says, normally he's not allowed to. Normally if I owe money to the bank has no liens on my clothing, on any of my property, my furniture. It has a lien on my house, the karka, but not on my property. But this case is different. The reason why here you're allowed to, where the bank can collect the metaltlin, can collect the shermazik, shiny hasam, there it's different. The command hasa aputiki dami. It's as if they're making up aputiki. What's aputiki? The Gemara Baba Kama here later on tells us, apotakai, this case is where you're supposed to take it from. I mean, even though normally there's no lien on a metaltin, if a person wants to, they can specify that this metaltin is going to be apotiki. They'll write in the document with the bank, I'm sure a person can write any document they want. I'm sure you could say, listen, if I don't pay you back the money, you have an apotiki. You have a lien on my fancy car, let's say. Or any other metaltin, you could do that. So here, when it came to the Torah said they are creating an apotiki on this shor hamuad. This is going to be the point of payment. If you try to sell it off, the bank could always, the mazik could always go ahead and collect it, even though normally you cannot collect metaltlin. So Gemara says, wait a second, is that really true? By an apotiki, if I sell off an apotiki, the bank could really collect it? V'ha'ma Rava, doesn't Rava tell us, asa avdo apotiki umachro? Let's say I make my eved the apotiki, meaning if I owe you money and I don't pay you, I'm allowing you to collect from my eved. I'm making my eved the apotiki. Umachro, now I go ahead and sell the eved to somebody else. So the Baal Chov govahimanu. So the Baal Chov could collect the Eved, because that's apotiki. I sold off my lien. He still has that lien, even though I sold it. But let's say I made my shor apotiki. I made my shor the apotiki. I said, listen, if I don't pay you back, you could collect my shor. And then macho, then I sell my shor, even though there's an apotiki. Ein Baal Chov govahimanu. The Baal Chov, the bank, cannot collect the shor apotiki. That was a fair. Didn't we say above that the shor hamazik is the apotiki, and even though I sell it off, the bank can collect it? But in this Stam case, we say you cannot collect it. Gemara wants to understand, Eved my time, Mishum Dish Leikala. Why is it true when I sell off my Eved, and the Eved has an apotiki, right? The lien is on the Eved, and I sell it off, the bank could still buy that Eved, get that Eved back. Because everybody knows, when you make the Eved, there's a call to it. People will know when you make an Eved into an apotiki. But when it comes to Hainami, came into Nagach, Kala Islay. So too, this Shor Nagach, everybody knows about Shor Nagach when an animal gores another animal, it hits the paper. So everybody's aware of that fight that took place, that this Shor gored another Shor or gored a person.
But everybody, wasn't Abatiki. Afterwards, they have to go to, he has to put it in.
Granted, but I guess the point is that since there's a...
There's a code. There's a
people are aware of this. So when you make that up with that person, that item in tapotiki, I guess that call continues and it becomes,
If you didn't make him a tapotiki, the guy has a shor, he never thought of making a tapotiki. Why would he put it as put a lien on? The question is, can the other guy that lost this shor put a lien on that automatically?
No, we're again, what's the call? The call here, does Rashi explain what the call is? Let's see. Rashi explained, look around. I don't know why this is. Rashi explains, if you look five narrow lines down, Mishani, Eved time am I, Govo, Milokeach. Why can the Bezdin collect it from the Lokeach, the one who just bought this Eved? Mishum Nislai Kala, Lishibuda, Kishavil Apotiki. Because when a person uses the Eved Kanani, when he makes the Eved Kanani as the Apotiki, it's apparently become people find out about that. It's not normal. So along the same lines, the Gemara says, so too, Hainami came into Nagach Kala Islay. Everybody's talking about this wild shore. And the Torah Nagach Kala, they call this the goring shore. So even though Apotiki, itself, anything that happens about the shore, anything that happens about this Eved becomes news. So that's what it is. So if it's my regular shore in the backyard, which hasn't caused anything, no one really cares so much about that. The fact that I make it into a apotiki, no one really cares. But if I'm anything that hits the paper is about my anything that's about the Tor Nagcha, this goring shore, everyone's watching over. The cameramen are always paying attention to this famous shore now. So once I make it as the apotiki, everybody finds out about this. Mm-hmm. So when the Lokeach, when the guy buys it, he buys my shore apotiki. He should have known. So it's his fault. His fault for buying it. Exactly.
But what about the guy who lost his shore? Can he go and file a lien on it?
The guy who loses his shore, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, sure. His ox was killed by that guy's shore, right? So he goes to Bezdin and slaps a lien on his shore, on that other guy's shore. So I don't want to get paid. Let's get that guy and sells it.
Right now, so this case is where the Torah makes it. The Torah enforces the apotiki on the shore hamazik. He doesn't need to. Torah already says.
It's automatically.
Oh, exactly.
Sure, so automatically there's a lien that goes on.
Exactly. So therefore, if I'm the mazik, I have no right to say I can sell the shore apotiki if I wanted.
But you're not allowed to, because it's only automatically.
Well, it works, but the guy, he's going to lose out. He's going to lose out. The guy buys it, he'll only have it until the nizak collects it. He could use it for plowing his field, but it's only going to be temporary. Okay. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava Kame De Rebbe Abohu Machro Ein Machar Hekdesha Muktash. If he sells it, it's not a good sale. But if he's Maktish it, it is a good Hekdesh. So let's see the case here. So Gemara says, Man, who's the one selling right now? It doesn't tell us who. Is it the Mazik? Is it the Nizak? Ilema Mazik Machar Ein Machar. If we're saying that the Mazik tries selling his shore Hamazik, and it's not a good sale. So money, who holds that it's not a good sale? Must be Rabbi Kiva. Then we're huchlat ashor. That Rabbi Kiva thinks that the shore hamazik is owned by the nizak. You have to pay the nizak. So I have no ownership of it anymore. So it must be that Rabbi Kiva is the author. That mazik has no right to sell it. Vekdesh mukdesh. But if I'm the mazik, I'm makdesh. It is a good hekdesh. Who does that go like? That goes like us and the Rabbi Yishmol. Then we're yushim hashor bebezdin. Where we only evaluate the Shor Mazik, but I, as the Mazik, the Baal HaShor, I own the sale, so I have the right to be Makdashit. So there's a stira. Either I could sell it and be Makdashit, or I can't sell it and I can't be Makdashit. It has to be the same. Ella must be Nizak. Must be the Nizak does not have the right to sell it. Why? Nizak Macher in a Macher. Why not? It must be money, Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol who holds that the Baal HaMazik still owns it. That's why the Nizak cannot sell it. But then Hekdesh and Mukdash, but if the Nizak can be Maktashit, that implies like us in the Rabbi Kiva, where the Nizak does have to Uchlat Ashur, the Nizak gets it. So it's a Sira. Who's doing the selling? Who's doing the Maktish? So the Gemara explains, Liolam Mazik. Really, me as the Mazik, I'm the one doing the selling, I'm the one doing the Hekdesh. So what's the difference? So Liolam Mazik, V'divrei Kol, Macher in a Macher, Afilu L'Rabbi Yishmol. Really, when it comes to selling it, everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Yishmol agrees that I cannot sell it, even though he holds Yusham Hashur, not Huchlat, Yusham Hashur. Even he holds I can't sell it. Why? Deha Meshab Delil Nizak. Because there's a lien. There's a Shrapotiki. There's a lien that the Nizak has on my shore. I cannot sell a house that has a lien on it. But Hekdesh Mukdash, I have the ability to Makdash it as a Mazik. Afilu Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agrees, though, I can be Makdash, even though Rabbi Kiva thinks I need to pay the actual shore to the Nizak, as the Mazik, I can be Makdash. How does that work? According to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, I understand, because Rabbi Shmuel holds I own the shore still. Rabbi Kiva holds the shore is supposed to go to the Nizak. How does the Mazik have the right to be Makdash? Mishum de Rabbi Abohu. Who's Rabbi Abohu? Dama Rabbi Abohu, Gezeira Shema Yomu Hekdesh Yotzib Lo Pidyum. Meaning, Hekdesh doesn't really chal. It's not chal at all. But there's a concern. Let's say I go ahead, I Makdash a shore. And we say, nothing has happened. So a guy who just saw that case is going to say, wait a second. Does that mean if I'm makdish something else in a different scenario, if I'm makdish my table, I could redeem it without having to pay anything? I could say, you know, now it's going to be chulun. I didn't know the case, because I saw now David owns the shor hamazik, and he says it's makdish, and the next day I see person plowing the field with it, so I could see, oh, you could go back and forth between hekdish and chulun without having to be podet. And I didn't know that he doesn't own his shor anymore. I didn't know that it goes to the nizak. Because of that gezeira, even Rabbi Kiva held that you have to do some type of fake pidyon, so people shouldn't think that hekdesh can be removed without any pidyon. That's the case. Let's just look at Rashi. Rashi says it much clearer in his beautiful language, more than I do. Rashi explains, Kidi Rabbi Abohu, Damar b'meseches erichin daf chav gimel gali makdish nechas. If a person is makdish his property, v'ha'isa alav chova ksubas isha. And part of that property was ksuba he owed to his wife. Ubal chov, and he owed money to a person as well. V'katani hasam diyav lehekdesh mide porta v'gavi bal chov delay. So I don't really have the right to do that, to be makdish something. I owe people money. So I have to give a yav lehekdesh mide porta. I need to give a little bit of something, some money to hekdesh, so there's some level of a pidyon. And then v'gavi bal chov, then the bal chov is going to collect the money that he's owed. V'amar Rabbi Bo says, d'ha debay l'meisav lehekdesh mide. Why do you have to give a little amount of money to hekdesh? Mishum gzeira. There's a concern, Shema Yomru Hekdesh Gamar Yatzel Chulim Blo Pidyon. Because if I didn't have to pay anything, I really don't have the right to be makdish my property when I owe someone else money. But they made me pay something just so someone shouldn't say, oh, I could go back and forth between Hekdesh and Chulim without having to do any Pidyon. And because of that Gzeira, he instituted this halacha, that when the Mazik is makdished, even according to Bekiva, who holds the Mazik has no longer any ownership, I have to do some level of Pidyon to pretend that it is Hekdesh. Gemara halfway down the Amud says, Tanu Rabbanan, short time that damages, Achlo Amud Bedin, before it went to Bezdin, so the Machu Machor, Hekdesh Mukdash, I as the Mazik, the owner of the Mazik, I could sell it, I can be Makdish it, but I could Shachtu Vnasu Matana, Masha Asa, I could Shacht it, I could give it away, everything I did is complete, because Bezdin, nothing kicks in yet. However, once I go to Bezdin, and now Bezdin says I owe money as the Mazik, nothing happens until then. Now there's something interesting to note. Just keep in mind as we go through the rest of the Masechta, a lot of different dinim, when there's certain punishments or payments that I owe as the Mazik, sometimes that payment is generated from the moment, the time of damage, right away it kicks in. And sometimes it's only generated from the time of Bezdin, going to Bezdin. So,
but in both cases, Bezdin needs to rule that.
But let me give you an example. Let's say I steal from you. So before I even go to Bezdin, I owe you money. That happens right away.
Without Bezdin saying that?
Yeah.
Because you stole. You stole from him. Yeah. Whether you're quarter or not, you know, you're still.
That's the tip.
You can say it's like a chtalot, you know, you know.
No, but if I really stole, if a real stealing from you, I owe you money from that moment I stole from you. The Gemara in the seventh parak discuss these at great length. Let's say, though, whenever there's a penalty, that I really don't owe you money, but the Torah put a penalty on. Let's say kefal for stealing. For Gneva, I owe kefal. That kefal does not exist from when I stole. Because that's not natural. The natural return is that me paying the keren. That which I stole. The kefil is only created when Bezdin says, now you owe kefil. So that's the general split. Anything that's tashlumim, that is compensation for damage, then that happens usually the time of the damage, the stealing. Anything that's additional, any knas, is generated from the point of Bezdin deciding. That's a general chiluk.
Didn't you say before that the lien automatically goes the moment it happens, the moment the damage is done? There is a lien.
So that's what the Gemara says. It's not the moment it happened. It's when Bezdin acknowledges this case. So it sounds like from that moment it kicks in.
So there is no call.
There is a call.
A call out there, then it should happen automatically. Now you're saying that no. Once it goes to court, once we go to Bezdin, then Bezdin will say.
Correct. It sounds like from this case. Very good. From this case, it sounds like. They only kid, right? You have to figure out how this works. It's a great point because you look at Rashi on the top. You see Rashi two narrow lines down. It says Apotiki, Rachmana Shavulim Migve Mehai Shura. The Torah said this is the shore. This is that you have to collect from this very shore. That's Apotiki that's created on the shore. So now we're saying from here, the Torah says it only really happens when it goes to Bezdin. It doesn't happen automatically, so you have to figure out how we paskin. But I think it's a very good point. But from this Brisa, the surface, it sounds like the lien only kicks in when you go to Bezdin. Gemara says now, let's go weiter. Kidmu balei chovos vigbio. Let's say the balei chovos, the ones who are owed money, meaning the nizak. Kidmu, they jump the gun. Vigbio, they collect the shor hamazik. Bein chav achlo hizik. Bein hizik achlo chav lo asa vloklum. Fisheno misham ela migufo. Let's see. So, what's the case of here? Bein chav achlo hizik, whether they owed money before any damage was done, or they damaged before they owed money, nothing has happened because you can only pay from the gufo. The Gemara breaks this down later on. Let's just see. Hold on 1 second. We're talking about a case. It must be situated by chovos. I mean, but in general, if a bank, so they have two obligations now. There's a bank I'm owed money to, and now, in addition to that, you're assured damage in my shore. So now I need to collect money from the loan, but now I also need to collect the damage that you're sure I caused my damage. So whether or not, you know, the nezek preceded the chov, or the chov preceded the nezek, either way, I have no right to collect from you at all. Let's see. Let's get the case clear here. The Gemara is going to explain all this actually later on, so let's just wait a second. Let's read further. The Gemara is going to analyze each case, it seems. Then the Gemara says, Muad shehizik. If a Muad causes damage, Bein shamed bedin, Bein shalamed bedin. Whether or not he went to Bezdin or didn't go to Bezdin, Macho machar hekdesha mukdash. Because when it comes to Shura Mazik, the Shura Mazik is not Begufo Mishalim. I need to pay money as the owner of the Shura Mazik, regardless of the value. There's no lien on this actual Shura Mazik. I need to pay out of pocket. So therefore, whether we went to Bezdin or we didn't go to Bezdin, I could sell it, I could be Makdishit, I could be Shacht of Anasu B'matana, and Masha Asa Asui. So Gemara now wants to understand, but further, Kidma Bali Chavos Vigbiu, let's say Bali Chavos come, and they collect the money, Bein Chav Achelo Hizik, Bein Hizik Achelo Chav, whether or not the damage came before the Chav, or the Chav came before the damage, Masha Asa Asui, whatever's been done is done, Fish Ein Mishalim Elam Minhaliyah. Again, the Gemara is going to explain this case a little bit later. It could be tomorrow we're going to get to this. So that's the long brisa now the Gemara is going to analyze. Amar Mar, we're pulling out one statement from the above mentioned brisa. Macher Macher, when we said above, if I have a shor mazik that damaged yours, a shor tam, before we went to Bezdin, I could sell it. So Mar Macher Macher Liradia, I can sell it for him, the guy using it, for plowing, but at some point later on, that sure the nizak is able to collect. Like we said above, there's this apotiki that the Torah puts this automatic apotiki on the shore, so it will be a temporary sale. Hekdesh mokis ramakdeshit. I view this as hektish. Mishun di Rabbi Abba, because we said above, even though it's not really good hektish, I really don't have the right to be makdeshit because of the concern of Rabbi Abba. We treat this as hektish and requires a pidum. Shachtu v'nasu b'matana if shachted, and you give it as a matana. Mash asa asoi. Whatever's been done has been done. So I understand Bishma Nasma Matana Mashasa Asa Liradia. I understand if I give it away, it's a good gift. The guy could use it for plowing until the Nizek takes it away. Elo Shachto Laysiv Lashami Bisari. So if I shecht it, so how does that work exactly? Rashi explains Elo Shachto Kisaka Daitach Masha Asa Asa, whatever has been done has been done. Lafkui min Nizak Kamar, meaning that the Nizak loses out. He can't collect it because now it's dead. And Dahasam Lekal Memer Liradia. We can't use this anymore to plow, obviously, the animal's dead. Where it says, no, what it means is, Lisi Vilishalim Bisare. If you shecht it, and now you have a piece of meat, now those pieces of meat you could use to pay. The Nizak can collect from the piece of steak. The sign of the Barisa tells us, Chai, Ainli Elechai. I only know that the Nizak can collect from the Shura Mazik when it's alive. Shachtum minayin. How do I know even when it's shechted, able to collect it? Tamalomar umacho es ashor mikol makom. They could sell the shore from any place, even if it's dead. You would sell the proceeds, all the proceeds of the dead, the meat, the shechted meat, also goes to the nizak.
So it doesn't really make a difference at the end of the day. The nizak is always going to, you know, the guy that was stuck, you know, the shore died. He's going after him. You can sell it. You can do whatever you want, but I'm taking my money.
That's exactly right. Correct. Wait. So this is a question. What's the question here, though?
Let's see.
But the question is, why do we say when it comes to shechting and masha asa asa, whatever has been done has been done? We should say let the nizak collect from the stakes now. Why do we say whatever has been done has been done? So to which the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Shizvi lo nitzcha ella lepchas shchita. Referring to, there's going to, of course, be a decrease. A live animal apparently is worth more than a dead animal, even though a shechted animal. But a live animal that's functioning and working to plow the field and then has the ability, after that point of shechting as well, has more value than an animal that's now shechted. So that whatever that decrease went down, that's what he lost. He can't make up that loss of money. Fine. Let's see. What time is it now?
10 to 7.
Oh, still a few minutes. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, Brei Dei Rav Yeshua, Zos Omer, says, come to teach us, HaMazik Shibudo Shel Chaver Pater. A person who's mazik, the shibud, a lien of another guy's pater. How do we learn this from here? Because let's say I'm the mazik. I shechted my shore, had this nizak, you had a lien on my shore. And I shechted it. And now it went down in value. I'm not responsible to pay back that decrease, that depreciation. I don't have to pay that difference.
What gave you the right to shecht it?
Ein echnami. But the halacha is that decrease, I don't have to pay for. So you see that another guy who's mazik, someone else who's a shibud, you don't have to pay. Damaging a guy's property is one thing, but damaging a lien does not mean anything.
What about that guy with the dead shore? He's going to sell the dead shore. He's going to take that shore and sell it.
Granted, but it's still going to be less valuable.
It's going to be worth less, but that amount, let's say if this is worth 100, now he sold it, he'll get $25 for the skins, right? So the guy that caused the debt, right now, instead of owning him 100, he only owes him 75.
Right.
He owes him 75. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that guy can just go after his stakes.
Right, exactly. So, but we see from here that a guy, the general klal we're pulling from this principle is hamazik shibud shel chaver, a person who damages another guy's lien, even though it might be an isser, it's a terrible thing to do. For in terms of monetary damage, pater, he's pater from paying. The Gemara says pshita, that's obvious. We just learned that above. That's the same exact halacha. Why repeat the same thing in a different way? Mal the same. What would you have thought? Hasim hu only there. Damalei lo chasar techav lo mide. I didn't cause you any loss there. Damalei zika ba'ama hu deshakti minach. I just took away the wind. I took away the breath. I didn't really do anything. I shechted it. He can't breathe anymore. But I didn't really do much. It wasn't considered mazik. That's why you're pater. About maybe in ba'ama in general, l'chai, where I'm really mazik, more of a direct type of damage, I should be chayiv for being mazik shibudo. Kimash Milan to teach us that no, a person is pater across the board for damaging a person's lien. Mar says, wait a second. Hanabi Rabba Amra. This is a statement that Rabba already says. Rav Shizvi, who came later on, wouldn't be repeating a halacha that Rabba already, rather Rav Huna wouldn't repeat a halacha that we already learned from Rabba. What does he hold? Amar Rabba Hasarif Hasharasov Shechaver Pater. A guy goes to a person's file cabinet and burns all his documents, all his proofs. He's pater. So documents are not damage itself. The damage is burning the house down. The documents are just proofs. That's not real damage. But he says you're pater, even though it's a terrible thing to do. The guy's pater. Mahu the same. What would you think? Hasam hu damer le nira bama kali minach. I just burned some papers. It wasn't anything physical, really. Well, ha chayecha the chaver baboros shichin maros lechayi. But if I'm digging pits, I'm ruining your actual property, which is a lien. So no, you have a lien on my house right now, and I start to ding and I destroy my house just to give it to the landlord, just to give it to the bank. So that I would think maybe I should be chayv in that case. Kamash Blan, the bank only has a lien. I own the house, it's my house, they only have a lien, I'm allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to. I'm not chayv to pay. The hahacha kiman the chaver baboro shichan marostami. The kamar masha asa asri. So we're saying from here that this case, when you shecht it, and Rashi explains the last three lines, Sharei Hashchita Niras V'Nikaris. Shechting is something that's noticeable. You recognize when an animal is shechted. So do you notice when a person digs his fields and makes pits and ruins his field, these things are noticeable. So we see from all this, that's the comparison. Even though a person does noticeable damage, since it's only damage to the lien, it's not considered damage, and a person will be potter from paying all this. Okay, I think this is a good point to stop now. The next part of the Gemara is going to explain all those different dinim of the kshinu bali chovos v'higbiu ad chov ad shel hoizik and so on and so forth. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. Mirza Hashem. Okay. A little confusing though.